And from the book In My Father's Vineyard, continuing in the winter season, I'd like to start off with reading Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. It's the account of Jesus in his experience in the wilderness, fasting and then being tempted of Satan. Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 15. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, and being glorified of all. So Jesus had time alone in the wilderness, alone with the Father, but there was also another presence there, Satan, to tempt him. I think Jesus recognized the importance of solitude. Was it a fruitful time in the wilderness for Jesus? It's probably not what we would consider a fruitful time, but it was a preparation to bear fruit. Reading from the book In My Father's Vineyard by Wayne Jacobson. Starts off with a reminder that it is the Father's vineyard. And as we look at ourselves as being a part of that vineyard, remember whose we are. God is the husbandman. He is in charge of the harvest. He has planned what will happen season by season. One branch was never meant to bear all the fruit in the vineyard or to live in continual harvest. So when opportunity around you slows, when you don't seem to be as effective as you had been, when God seems a little distant, it may be time for a change of season. And if you have a hard time letting go, perhaps you need the winter more than you know. Now is the time to shift your attention away from developing fruit and spreading leaves to that vital link between vine and branch. If you have the courage to set aside the good things God has brought to completion in your life, you will have more time and energy to devote to your friendship with Jesus. These are the best days for personal retreats and extended time in the Father's presence. As things grow quiet, you'll see more clearly His direction in your life, perhaps discover some less than pure motives that have sneaked in during the growing season. Don't resist this process, even if it feels that you failed or that you're wasting your time. Spiritual winter provides the Father opportunity to do an even deeper work in your life. Don't look for fruit in winter. You will be sorely disappointed. But do pursue your friendship with Jesus, and you will find that winter is a wonderful season to enjoy him. You will understand that your leaves and your fruit, your productiveness and your activity, are not your glory. Your true glory is the depth of your friendship with Christ. And regardless of the season, that's a glory that will never fade. As we look at the next chapter in Luke, there in chapter 5, it's the healing of a leper. And Jesus, after he healed him, he told him, "Go, show yourself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them." Then in verse 15, and he warned him, "Tell no man, don't tell anyone what I did." But so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. Multitudes of opportunities. What was Jesus' response? And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Is there a lesson for us in that? You know, sometimes we have this, when we see the opportunities, there is time to meet needs. But be careful that you don't just get carried away with the euphoria of feeling, "I can do so much." Remember, it's the Father working through us. And while our goal is to bear fruit, fruit is not necessarily the focus. The focus is abiding. And as we focus on that, the goal will be reached to bear fruit in season. Later in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, says, "And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles." And then it gives the list of apostles that he chose. Think Christ saw the need while he was on this earth of abiding in the Father. Maybe in that setting, the Father was more of the vine and Jesus a branch. I'm not sure. But Christ realized the importance of staying strongly connected and abiding in the Father. And it helped him to choose wisely his disciples. From a human perspective, it may not have made sense of choosing who he did. But Christ had a purpose for choosing who he did. And so let's not resist when God calls us to step aside and to stand back, let the work of God continue, but you step aside and have some time by yourself. Reading again from In My Father's Vineyard. "What is more serene than the earth under a blanket of freshly fallen snow? Nature has come to a standstill. The only sound is ice crunching underfoot. People speak in muted tones. The stillness is almost deafening. I felt that same stillness in my father's vineyard. Instead of snow, a low gray overcast swaddles the vineyard with silence. The vines stand quiet, twisted forms frozen in time. No more work is done. Not for the time being. For the vineyard, this is a season of rest. Summer was the season of warfare, of battles to protect the fruit from hostile forces. Fall was a time of vigorous harvest and celebration. Now the cold of winter lulls the vines to a much-needed quiet. God does this with us, but not because he turns cold and unresponsive. Quite the contrary, it is during this season of rest and restaging that God draws even closer to us, placing a greater priority on our relationship with him and his Son. There are two ways that God brings us to winter. One is circumstantial, where the external trappings of our spiritual life become less effective. The second is by calling, where God directs us to lay things aside and concentrate for a time on our relationship with Him. Both signal an end of one season of fruitfulness in order to prepare for another. There are many instances of such seasons in Scripture. The time Moses spent on the backside of the desert changed him from a prince in Pharaoh's court to an ambassador and a deliverer for God. The children of Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness, a winter season when God forged a people who could occupy the promised land and be fruitful. Jesus retreated to the wilderness after his baptism. There God prepared him for his public ministry. We don't know all that happened in the wilderness, but Luke tells us that Jesus went out full of the Spirit and returned in the power of the Spirit. Jesus recaptured similar moments when he withdrew from the crowds to lonely places for prayer. Because of these examples, the winter season is often referred to as a wilderness experience. That designation is fine if by wilderness we mean a time when God calls us to a season of undistracted attention away from the busyness that ensnares us. But I've heard many people define the wilderness as a time when God withdraws his presence from us to deepen our faith. Nowhere does Scripture suggest such an idea. God wants to increase our dependence upon him, not teach us how to live without him. When the old patterns grow lifeless, he beckons us to a fresh discovery of his love. If we're going through the wilderness experience where it seems God is so distant, it's not God that withdrew himself. We have taken steps away from him if there is distance. Fruitfulness, not busyness, is the goal of a conscientious believer. Because we can trust God and know that he will lead us into the fullness of joy, we are free to say no even to the things that we desire, whether good or bad. There's just too much going on for us to participate in all of it. We've got to limit ourselves and focus on the few things God really has called us to do. That's the only way to be fruitful. We must draw near to God in the quiet season and let him show us his plans. His grace will teach us to say no. The life that listens to God is not a whirlwind of activity, but a focused life. God's pruning results in simplicity, power, and joy. It brings fulfillment and fruitfulness. Don't resist it. It's the key to your fulfillment and fruitfulness. Was it 2 weeks ago when we had the Shepherd's Institute? Chester Weaver in the evening spoke about the spiritual disciplines. And he touched on a number of them, and I'd like to just touch briefly on two of them. And that is the discipline of solitude and silence, something that I think all of us need. And probably, I think it goes along with the winter season, a time of rest. And just some of the notes that I gleaned from this. And he gave this mental picture, said, he described this picture of a sheep was out on the beach with headphones and sunglasses. And way in the background, the shepherd is calling. But the sheep is saying, I wonder why the shepherd doesn't call anymore. Do you get the idea? We surround ourselves with noise so that we can't hear the Father calling. Solitude and silence. It's getting away from interacting with other people. It's going to a cabin or a walk, maybe a stump in the woods, some place to be alone. And I would suggest alone where you can use your normal tone and no one else will hear it. I would give that for a suggestion. It's closing out the sounds, noise, music, or words. I've heard of people who, whenever they go to bed, the radio or television, something has to keep going or they can't sleep. They can't handle silence. That's too bad. Silence goes beyond solitude. It can be frightening. It leaves only us and God. But what are some of the results? It reveals how much sound junk clutters our lives. It allows us to hear the still small voice of God. It enables us to have a quiet inner confidence and thus courage to face our tasks. With every discipline of abstinence, he also had a discipline of engagement. And the part of engagement that corresponds with the solitude and silence are study and worship. It's engaging in learning about God and his truth. It's filling the mind and soul with the good things of God. And it results in spiritually robust people, healthy in mind and spirit. It energizes and equips to do work in the kingdom of God. It gives spiritual stability, helps us discern the spirits, and helps us give good answers to questions. It engages in the practice of exalting the greatness, the beauty, and the goodness of God. It's where God and man meet and communicates. And it's where our lives are changed more into the image of Jesus Christ. We learn to think like God thinks. Our lives are given meaning, purpose, stamina, and fulfillment. Daily living becomes purposeful and reverent, not haphazard, chaotic, and shallow. This morning, I'd simply like to encourage every one of us, and people are at different stages. For some, maybe in a half hour seems like a long time to be in complete silence and solitude. For others, that's a short time. Let's do a day. I'm not sure where you're at, but I would encourage everyone to decide to sometime this week, cut out a slot of time where you are completely alone with God. Maybe take the Bible along. Leave your phone alone or turn it off. Don't allow those kinds of things to distract. For you're alone with God and spend time with him. And I'd encourage, start a pattern of that. Shall we kneel and pray? Father in heaven, I just thank you for the example that Jesus left us of spending time alone with you. And Lord, we desperately need that. Sometimes we don't even realize how desperately we need it. And I just pray that you would give us a sense of that need, of dependence on you, of abiding in the vine in Jesus Christ, so that in season we can be fruitful. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here this morning. Pray your grace, your blessing on each one. And help us, Lord, to just find that time to spend all alone with you and allow you to conform us more and more to the image of Jesus Christ. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.